Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us on this broadcast each and every day as we face the issues. It is our prayer that you are informed, enlightened, encouraged, challenged, and it will cause you to look up, lift up our heads, realizing our redemption draweth nigh. May I remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. There's not a greater source of truth than the Word of God. It's the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. It is the truth book, as I like to call it. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, as he's speaking to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And further he elaborates when he makes a declaratory statement in John 17:17, where the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the Word of God, ladies and gentlemen. And truth is what we should seek, especially in this quagmire that we're in called the election. It's no longer election day, election week. It's election months, M-O-N-T-H-S, multiple months. And we're finding that to be true each and every day. I'm calling today's broadcast the election illusion. The election illusion. We'll talk about that further in a moment. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. Question that begs to be asked, do you think the election is over? Do you think Joe Biden is officially the president-elect? Is there an office of president-elect? Is there a seal for the president-elect? Is that the correct nomenclature that we should be using to address Joe Biden, the former vice president, the almost 50-year failure in the Beltway in Washington? Should he be addressed as the president-elect? Is that a proper title, if you will? We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today. But may I remind us, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. In fact, in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 8, the Scripture says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." We need to be very, very careful who we follow, who we believe, and what we believe. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to believe the truth. It was George Orwell a number of years ago, the secularist, that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be so evident and true today. From a conservative standpoint, from a Christian standpoint, from a patriotic standpoint, we find that truth is being shunned, denied, and repelled today more than ever in the history of America. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that made such a powerful statement that I call our attention to. Perhaps you've heard me say it before. I hope you have. Jan Hus said, "Faithful Christians, seek the truth. Listen to the truth. Learn the truth. Love the truth. Tell the truth. Live the truth. Defend the truth, even to death." And may I suggest that should be the mantra of our life. That should be the pattern that we live by, is seeking the truth, telling the truth, and speaking nothing but the truth. I believe that it behooves us to do so and to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the need to speak the truth and to stand on the truth of the Word of God. It is something that is important and vital, I believe, for everyone under the sound of my voice to recognize the need to speak the truth and tell the truth and follow the truth in the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It's without truth, there is no possibility of anything that would be good coming out of it. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Tools for Time provides the advice and insight for those that are wanting to own and operate their own landscape lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the landscaper, professional, as well as for the homeowner. Tools for Time also carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment and the full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time, ladies and gentlemen, has a full staff of knowledgeable people that can answer your questions that you may have for them. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a gigantic flag flowing, 165-foot flagpole. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the election illusion is something that I think that we need to recognize that is taking place today. It is a major, major, major dilemma for multitudes. But ladies and gentlemen, it's an illusion. If you'll go back to some, let me just take us back for a moment. Go back to some of the greatest illusion artists on the globe, some of the greatest magicians, as they're called. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the primary things that they will do is they will have you to focus on one hand and not focus on the other hand. They will be doing something with the hand that you're not supposed to notice, and they want you to recognize that which they are doing. And that is, generally speaking, ladies and gentlemen, something that is not found in the truth of what they're wanting to accomplish. Let me remind you that telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 831-0917. 831-0917. Dial you directly through to get to our microphone so that we can entertain your question or comment and see what God would have us to talk about today as we talk about the election illusion. But what is happening today, what is taking place today on a national level is an election illusion. It is the focusing on Joe Biden and calling him president-elect. It is the focusing on one that has not truly been legitimately elected. He was determined to be the president, future president. He was determined to have won the election based on the calling of that by the media. Joe Biden is a media-created puppet, media-created puppet. What we see taking place is the illusion of Joe Biden as president. Joe Biden is not president-elect, ladies and gentlemen. There's no such office as president-elect. There's no such official seal as the seal for the office of president-elect. And yet Joe Biden continues to be called president-elect. All of the Biden interviews that take place is in front of a large sign. Perhaps you've noticed it. A large painted structure behind him that says, has a seal, and you notice the seal is not crisp. It is designed to look like an authentic seal, but it is purposely designed to have kind of a blurred look to it. That is so that they cannot be accused of developing an official seal. But it's supposed to indicate, it's supposed to have you to believe, the mirage, the illusion, is to have you to believe that he is the president-elect, that he is Joe Biden that's won the election, and that he is going into office as president January the 20th. 2021. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over to question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. When Trump was president-elect, Zionist Christians had no problem with that statement. Why?
Because there's no such office that until there's been an official designation of the election. Do you realize that Joe Biden has perhaps as much as 240 electoral college votes, not 270 that make him president-elect? Did you know that?
The question was, when Trump was president-elect, y'all did not complain about that statement.
Y'all is a derogatory looking down your skinny nose at Christians, as you're putting it.
Conservative y'all, Christians.
Let me just talk for a minute. Thank you so much for calling today. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not going to debate and argue a fact. I'm not going to debate and argue with an individual that doesn't have intelligence enough to realize what we're saying. Joe Biden has been elected president only in the mirage of the media, the Marxist, socialist, communist media that's designated Joe Biden as president-elect. There's no such office for president-elect that's just been by fiat declared to be the winner of the presidential campaign. He is not. He doesn't even have enough electoral college votes legitimately to call him president-elect. So there's no such office as president-elect. In fact, as of right now, the Pentagon has refused to give him any intelligence reports out of the Pentagon because he is not considered the truly elected president to be sworn in January the 20th of 2021. It is simply an illusion that's being painted by the left, by the socialist Marxist media, to try to have you to believe that somehow, some way, he is the president-elect. That's the point that I'm making. There's no seal, no legitimate seal. President Donald J. Trump, when he was elected, he was president-elect. There was no such seal, no such office. That was simply the designation once he had been declared the winner of the Electoral College votes and was on the way to being sworn in. Joe Biden is not in that position, never has been in that position. He is an absolute dismal failure for some 50 years in the Beltway of Washington. He sold America out to the Chinese Communist Party. And if Joe Biden were to, by some hook or crook, as my mother used to call it, be sworn into office, that Joe Biden would sell America further to the Chinese Communist Party and would destroy the integrity of the sovereignty of the United States of America. I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the fact that Joe Biden is a made-up man. He is a stealth candidate, if you will. He's one that's been determined to be the president-elect by the Socialist Marxist BLM Communist Democratic Party and their leadership, Nancy Pelosi, AOC, Chuck Schumer, and others. And he has been placed into that limelight as being president-elect by none other than the socialist media and by the social media platform. The things like Twitter and Facebook and Google and YouTube. In fact, you say anything about, you question on any of those media platforms, you question anything about Joe Biden's authenticity, and you'll find that something will pop up on the screen to tell you that it's what you're talking about, what you're calling is a lie. It's not truth that Joe Biden is officially the president-elect. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a problem with that in our society today. Here's an article that says Biden picks health team, including Barrera, for HHS Secretary Fauci as the top coronavirus advisor. Ladies and gentlemen, what Biden is doing is trying to look like, going back to the election illusion, is trying to look like they're making him look like he's been elected as the president of the United States of America. He's not even close to having enough electoral college votes to designate him as president-elect for the benefit and for the elucidation of the one that called in challenging that by you Zionist Christians, indicating that he is an adamant opposer of Israel, indicating that he has disdain for we as believers. I don't have 2 seconds for that kind of communication. One that hadn't got intelligence enough to realize the facts. Probably he gets his news from the Communist Network News called CNN or MSNBC or one of the fake news media standards, but he certainly does not find it to be legitimate news, ladies and gentlemen. But it's Joe Biden that continues down the track of trying to look presidential, trying to act presidential, and putting together a so-called cabinet. In fact, here's an article that brings to light what I just said about president-elect. The article says Chris Wallace snaps when the secretary for one of the ones for the what is it called the human and health and human services, what it is, HHS for health and human services, doesn't refer to Joe Biden as president elect. And it's been an interview by Chris Wallace on none other than the failing Fox News Today. Says Fox News anchor Chris Wallace quickly corrected Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar Sunday when the Trump administration member refused to refer to Joe Biden as president-elect. What happened? This article says, while interviewing Azar on Fox News Sunday, Wallace interrupted Azar when the Health and Human Services Secretary referred to Biden as the former vice president. And that's his official title. That's the only title that he deserves at this juncture. That's the only title that should be recognized by any intelligent human being in the United States of America. And that's what he did. As our reference to Biden as the former Vice President Biden, came after Wallace asked if America would be in much better shape and had Trump embraced face mask, had Trump embraced face mask in the early days of the COVID-19 pandemic. Joe Biden is right now, he says. I welcome the Vice President to the club. Since the middle of April, the President's guidelines for reopening have called for masks, Azar responded before being cut off by Chris Wallace. Chris Wallace then said, he's President-elect, sir. He's President-elect, Wallace interjected, referring to Biden. He is President-elect. Three times he had that, how would you say, the brazen statement with no respect for the one he was interviewing. Azar, though, continued with his response during that statement. But first of all, it's the President-elect Joe Biden. Is the President-elect Joe Biden is the question asked by Chris Wallace. And Azar shot back the second time he is vice president, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, the point being, the point that I make is, it is a fiat position. It is not recognized legitimately in any of the scholarship of the election process in the United States of America. We have a caller on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, this is Representative Mike Hill.
Mike, how are you? Good morning, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Mike Hill, District 1 representative in the state of Florida, Republican, conservative, Christian representative. I am thankful, Mike, that you could join us on the broadcast today. We're talking about the illusion of an election, the election illusion. And that's an illusion that's been set up by the socialist Marxist Democrats, being perpetuated by Joe Biden and his so-called transition team that's been put together to make him look presidential. Do you believe, Representative, do you believe that Joe Biden is president-elect?
No. And as I just heard you say, Dr. Youngblood, there is no such title. It is a made-up title that they first started when former President Obama was elected. And by the way, even though we don't hear a lot of talk of that now, I believe that that election may have been stolen also. And if not the one in 2008, certainly the one in 2012. There's evidence coming out now as we speak that the same amount of fraud that was done in this election to try and usurp President Trump's rightful reelection was also used in Obama's second reelection in 2012. I think they also tried it in 2016, but did not recognize the volume of voters who were going to be voting for President Trump, and it overwhelmed them, and it caught them off guard. They thought for sure Hillary was going to win because of the cheating and fraud that they had in place. But so many massive number of voters voted for President Trump, it caught them off guard, and Hillary was denied trying to usurp that position as president. They were ready for it this time with this election, and that's why they had in place in all those contested states that should we see this massive number of people voting for President Trump, which they did, then they would stop the voting and bring in their secret weapon, which was the absentee ballots, the fraudulent absentee ballots, and the Dominion voting machines, which would change ballots. So they thought they were ready for it this time to where they could declare a victory for Biden. But instead, I think, and I know, I believe this, that President Trump was ready for them this time. And when they tried that cheating maneuver, he exposed them so that now the entire world can see how they cheated in this past election.
Absolutely. In fact, Congressman, I'm looking at an article. Says a Biden victory, not statistically impossible, but statistically implausible. And it goes along the line of what you're just talking about. It says a victory for Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden in the 2020 presidential election is not statistically impossible, but it is statistically implausible, according to a pollster, Patrick Basham, said on Sunday on the Sunday News. Basham told host Mark Levine that a number of non-polling metrics that measure, for example, party registration trends, how the candidates performed in their prospective presidential primaries, the number of individual donations, and how much enthusiasm each candidate generated in the opinion polls typically have an accurate rate of 100% in terms of predicting the winner of a presidential election. He claimed that another irregularity in the 2020 election is the fact that President Trump secured roughly 11 million more votes than he did in 2016. Basham also noted that metrics 4 years ago strongly indicated a win for President Trump, and that it was the case again for 2020. He goes further. It's an elongated article. I'll read one other brief paragraph. If you look at the results, you see how Donald Trump improved his national performance over 2020 by almost 20%. No incumbent president has ever lost a re-election if he increased his votes by as much as 20%. If you look at those results, you see Donald Trump did very well, even better than 4 years earlier, with the white working class. He continued, he held his own with women, suburban voters, against all most of the polling expectations. He did very well with Catholics and the Jewish people and the black community, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. In other words, what this article is saying is it's pointing out the improbability of the fact that Joe Biden supposedly is the winner of this election. Congressman, are you familiar with the actual number of Electoral College votes that Biden has accumulated?
I am not at this time. I know what certain news outlets are, false news outlets are claiming, that he has more than enough Electoral College votes, but I'm not quite sure of what that exact number is now.
If I'm not mistaken, it's like 243, and President Trump has something like 227 to 230. And neither of them, based on those numbers, neither of them have been elected as president. Neither one of them can claim president-elect position, even though that's a fictitious term and ought not to be used, in my opinion, until you've gained enough votes, Electoral College votes, to do so. Congressman, tell us some of the things. We want to walk through some of these states, but I want us to look at Georgia first. Tell us about what's happening in Georgia, what's taking place, what's happening with the courts in Georgia, what's happening with the suits in Georgia for the election, and what is the potential outcome of those events.
Well, I do know that a lawsuit has been filed to go before the Georgia Supreme Court. It's a 64-page lawsuit that has been filed by civilians who are challenging the results of this fraudulent election, which took place just in Georgia alone. Right now, if we look at it, Biden is up by 12,670 votes, period. But what these petitioners assert, that the laws of Georgia governing the conduct of the contested election were disregarded, they were abandoned, they were ignored, they were altered, and otherwise violated jointly and severally, allowing Biden to be elected in favor, even though of these glaring numbers that they are presenting before the Georgia Supreme Court. First of all, there were 2,560 felons were confirmed to have voted, even though felons are not allowed to vote in Georgia. There were 66,247 underage residents were allowed to register and vote in the election. These are people under the age of 18. There were 2,423 people who were allowed to vote who never registered to vote. There were 15,700 voters who filed a change of address indicating they have moved out of Georgia. And then there were over 40,000 who voted in a county they did not reside in. But get this, Dr. Youngblood, there were 10,315 confirmed dead people who voted in Georgia. And there were 300... I mean, these were confirmed. Okay, so
one of the things, if I can jump in for a moment, Congressman, one of the things that's so glaring, staring, and comical, if it weren't so serious, some of the liberals in Georgia some of the socialist Marxist Democrats, as I call them in Georgia, saying that while those dead people did not vote as dead people, they had already voted early and then they died.
Nonsense. Complete nonsense.
Yeah.
And then we go on, Dr. Youngblood, if there were over 305,000 requested a mail-in ballot 180 days prior to the election, which makes those ballots invalid. So we see just in Georgia alone that the fraud was so blatant, it was so widespread. But then here's one other thing. The signature rejection rate, which is typically around 3.4% in Georgia, that's what it was in 2018, that it dropped to 0.34% in 2020, despite having a million more mail-in ballots. So if they had gone along with the historical 3.4% rejection rate, a lot of those ballots would have been tossed out. So what they are asserting, they're not asserting that either Biden won or that Trump won. What they are asserting is that this fraud is so widespread and so blatant that this entire election in Georgia is invalid. And that what happens then, it goes to the state legislature to choose their electors, who will then choose who the president is. And we see a similar pattern in all the contested states right now, Dr. Youngblood, in Georgia, Arizona, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. And as you stated, neither candidate has enough electoral college votes right now to be declared the president. But if just one or two of those states are declared invalid and that it goes to the state legislator to select the electors, it will go to President Trump.
Absolutely. And that's what's gotten the socialist, Marxist, communist, Democrat party. So even though they're not wanting to publicly indicate it, they're pretty uptight about the result. And there's a major thing, if I can tuck that in at this moment, major thing that is kind of concerning for me is, you know, Georgia's Governor Kemp calls for a signature audit I believe it was either Friday or Saturday. And then within 24 hours, his daughter's boyfriend dies in a massive explosion in his automobile on Interstate 16. Are you familiar with that?
I am not. No.
It is the young man, I believe, is 26, 27 years old. He is Senator Loeffler's campaign leader. And he had done a stalwart job in carrying that out. He was dating the daughter of the governor. His last name is Deal. He is related to the former governor of Georgia, Governor Deal. It was not the former governor's son, but related to the governor. And in a fireball, they do not know what happened on Interstate 16, but in the fireball, some type collision, he was literally cremated in his car on I-16. And I'm looking at an article that says Georgia's Governor Kemp calls for a signature audit. Then 24 hours later, his daughter's boyfriend dies in a massive explosion caused by a so-called car accident. This article says this is why everyone is scared to speak up and/or to defend Donald J. Trump. And it says the mob is ready to take anyone out that disagrees with them or goes against this election. It should cause any conservative, and especially Christians and patriots, to have great consternation and alarm to think of that potentiality and possibility. Now, this could be altogether something different, but it sure looks very odd and very suspicious at this juncture with that taking place. Congressman, we're going to take about 1 minute at the top of the hour for news. Hang in there, and we'll be right back as we continue to talk about the election illusion.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.